Good morning, welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on the 15th Perek of Shmuel Aleph. This is a very famous Perek. It is the Haftorah for Parshas Zachar. It is the discussion and the topic of Amalek and Shaul's interaction with Amalek. It starts off by Shmuel turning to Shaul HaMelech and saying, Shmuel says to him, Shaul, now's your time. You need to go and eradicate Amalek. Hashem says, you need to go there. When we left Egypt and Israel was attacked by Amalek, Hashem said that you need to eradicate them. Now is the time. Kill all of them, don't have any mercy, man, woman, child, animals. So that is the charge he is given. And Shaul gets very busy going ahead with this. He brings Eri together, all of the Shvatim, including Yehuda, the Pesukim emphasize, goes down to the valley. And before attacking Amalek, he tells the nation called the Cani, who happen to be descendants of Yisro, to leave this area. This is interesting because Yisro does appear immediately after the battle against Amalek in the Torah. Apparently Yisro and the Amalekim are very much connected. They live near each other. We're going to see other connections later on at the end of Sefer Shmuel. In the meantime, he tells them to leave. He devastatingly destroys Amalek, kills everybody except the king, whose name is Agag, and he leaves over the best of the flocks and cattle, thereby disobeying Shmuel's explicit instructions. In the meantime, while this is happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then comes to Shmuel and says, Shmuel, I have decided Shaul HaMelech is no longer a melech. I have now rejected him from being a king. Before, in Perek Yud Gimel, Shaul was being rejected as having the dynasty of kings. Now he is being rejected as the king himself. Go and tell him this. And it says that Shmuel spent the entire night fighting, so to speak, with Hashem. Shmuel was very connected to Shaul. It was very painful for him, this experience. And he tries to speak to Hashem. And the next morning, he goes up and he goes to visit Shaul. How does Shaul visit him? Is Shaul feeling guilty or not? What's going on in Shaul's mind? So as he arrives at the place, he sees Shaul, who's busy building Mizbeach. And Shaul says, Ah, Baruch atah LaHashem, blessed are you to Hashem, Hakimoisi es Tavar Hashem. I have just fulfilled the word of Hashem. Shaul really, truthfully felt that he had done what Hashem wanted. And Shmuel says to him, Whoa, wait a second. Meh kol hatzoin hazeh. What is the sound of this onomatopoeia there? What is meh kol hatzoin hazeh? What is this flocks I am hearing? And Shaul says, Well, I brought them from... I saved the best of the cattle for a sacrifice to Hashem. We decided I wanted to give the best of the booty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shmuel says, look, I want to tell you what happened to me last night. Something Hashem spoke to me. Shaul says, go ahead, tell me what happened. What did Hashem say to you? So he says, well, you may think that you're katon be'inecho. You may think that you're small, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are the Rosh Shiftei Yisrael. You are the head of all the tribes. You were supposed to be a king. But you didn't destroy them. You didn't listen to them. You didn't listen to me to destroy them. Now, and Shaul then Svani says, but wait a second, I tried. I just kept Agag, you know, as the spoils. And I brought the flocks as a korban. Shaul keeps denying the claim. And finally Shmuel says, Hashem doesn't want your sacrifices. He wants you to listen. Don't outsmart Hashem. Don't think you know better. Don't give him a secondary plan. Do what he wants. And at the end of this, Shaul finally admits and he says, Chotasi, I disobeyed Hashem, I disobeyed your words. You know, please let me, bear my sin. Give me another chance. And Shmuel says, sorry, that's it. Hashem has despised you. You're out. You're gone. And as Shmuel turns to leave, Shaul grabs his garment and the garment rips. You know, Shmuel turns away. It's a debate in the Farshim. If it's Shaul's garment, if it's Shmuel's garment, but symbolically it rips. And he says, please stay with me, at least, you know, just come and bring the sacrifice with me. And Shmuel says, sorry, Hashem has rejected you as a king. So he says, come for the sake of respect so it doesn't look bad. And Shmuel comes with him to sacrifice with him. So it doesn't look like, so nobody on the outside knows what's happened. The Perek ends as Shmuel comes to Agag himself and he says to Agag, who says he's not scared of death anymore, Shmuel turns to him and says, just like you made bereft many mothers for the amount of people you killed, I'm going to kill you now. And he slices Agag into pieces and kills the king of Amalek. We know that the Midrashim indicate that in that the amount of time that Agag was kept alive and the time he was killed, he was able to impregnate a woman who ultimately bore the ancestor for Haman later on, who sought to eradicate the Jews in future generations, even that short span of time. And the perek ends with a very, very sad note, where it says that Shmuel went back to Ramah, and he never saw Shaul again until his death. And again, after his death, he will see Shaul. We'll see how that works. But he never sees Shaul again. This is his prodigy. This was his hopes. This was his aspirations. And the aspirations did not live up to it. It's a very sad moment. There is so much to think about this parak. We cannot sufficiently do it in our short moment together. But just a few points to ponder. Why now? Why is Shmuel giving this request now to kill Amalek? Why right now? So the Radak points out, well, there are three mitzvahs that Israel have when they come into the land of Israel. Number one is to establish a king, number two is to destroy Amalek, and number three is to build the Beis HaMikdash. This is the second national mitzvah, and it is after the king is established, now is the time to move on to the next step. That's why it's happening now. That's what the Radak suggests, based on the Rambam Paskins of Zla Alocha. However, Rashi points out that there's something else going on over here. Rashi says, look, in the end of the day, Shaul, you did not listen to me. You didn't listen exactly what I said. I told you to wait 7 days for the korban. You didn't wait. You were too scared. Now's the time to show me you can listen exactly. So this was a test. This was the opportunity to rectify what went wrong. And unfortunately, that's why it went so bad. When he went off so ever so slightly from that command. Why so extreme? Why do we have this almost this genocidal view of Amalek? Why is it that we need to eradicate them themselves? This is a much bigger topic. I gave a share on why Torah called Amalek and morality, which is part of Shaul's Ark Part 8. I'm going to send this out on the WhatsApp group just for further reference. This is a much bigger topic as to why this is so serious, why Amalek has to be completely eradicated. What actually went wrong in Shaul's decision-making? Mefarshim debate this vociferously. A few options just out there to think, and these are all based on the Psukim. There's many indications in Psukim as to what went wrong. Number one, the most basic one, it sounds like Shaul was worried about the crowd. The crowd were saying we should keep people alive. The crowd were saying, well, we should have chemla, we should have pity on these people. And the problem was, says the Malbim, is this ain't a democracy. You're a king. You've got to decide. With certain times where autocracy is necessary, you need to make decisions and the people don't have a right to make the decision. This is one of them. You didn't listen. That's one option. Another option is the Rabag says maybe on a more rational level, maybe Shaul and the people were tempted by the spoils. Maybe they wanted to keep those flocks and those cattle. Either they said they were going to use it for a car, but maybe there was something else going on over their minds. Radak says this might have not been an emotional mistake. This might have been an intellectual mistake. He felt that it was incorrect morally to kill all these people. That's even more insidious. There's an aspect of Avodah Zorah there, because meaning he is rethinking God's plan. That's perhaps the most serious of all of these. Another option that Malbim points out is when we look at our own feelings. If our own feelings run against the grain of what the Torah says, can we trust them? Is that godly that we have feelings of mercy? And the answer is no. There's certain times where we have to go against our natural inclinations and we have to destroy it in our nidachas. That goes against the rachamim, the natural rachamim in a person, but there's the times that we do this. And finally, the last option the Malbim presents, these are all between the Malbim, the Ralbag, the Radak, the last option the Malbim presents is that the ends don't justify the means. Meaning you're choosing to bring this carbonus. I don't care. Don't tell me that you're going to steal millions of dollars and give it to stock. That's not the way it works. Don't save the flocks and give them as a carbon. I told you to get rid of them. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. It's also noteworthy to notice that Shaul, as opposed to David HaMelech, does not immediately admit guilt. He beats around the bush until finally he's cornered and he does this. And that also is an indication of perhaps the defensiveness in which of Shaul's monarchy over here. This ends a rather sad era of Shaul, and now we're going to move on to the next step of Malchus, which is the beginning of David HaMelech. That's the next parak. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.